This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Europe tries to tighten the economic screws on Russia. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. New limits take effect today to restrict Russia's oil exports, a price cap, and a ban on seaborne crude deliveries to much of Europe. Marketplace's Nova Sapphos here with more. Morning, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So how do these new limits work?
Okay, so the ban on seaborne crude, we've been expecting that for months. It was agreed to in May. Now it's happening. The fear is that taking Russian crude off the market, at least in much of Europe, could mean supply constraints and higher prices. And if prices rise, of course, Russia gets more money for its crude elsewhere. That's where the second element of this comes in. On Friday, the group of seven countries, which includes the U.S., agreed to enforce a $60 a barrel price cap on Russian oil. And the way that's implemented is through insurance companies that cover ships carrying Russian oil. They'll have a $60 a barrel limit for what they can insure.
So what might we expect the effects of this to be, you know, a month from now as everything gets going?
Well, experts are really divided on whether all of this will work or whether Russia can get around the ban and the price cap. Russia did criticize the price cap, so maybe they expect some effect. Ukraine isn't happy either, incidentally, saying the price cap isn't low enough to matter. And as for global oil prices, Sabri, it's hard to say. Even OPEC Plus, which met over the weekend, decided to wait and see before making any new decisions about production.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sapphos, thank you.
You're welcome.
Wages went up in November, 5.1% over last year, we learned in the monthly jobs report. Now, one of the tricky things about wage growth is that on the one hand, it is great to get a raise. But on the other hand, there have been times in history where wages have risen so fast, it's gotten harder to control inflation. That does not appear to be happening right now. Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
A lot of us in the workforce hear wages are going up and think that's a good thing, especially right now when everything's gotten so much more expensive. William Rogers at the St. Louis Federal Reserve agrees, and he says wages aren't rising fast enough to drive inflation.
This report does not suggest a wage spiral like the 1970s. In fact, there's been no acceleration in wage growth.
Instead, he says it's been pretty steady. And inflation is starting to decelerate, at least a little. The job market is still tight, though, and unemployment is low. Julia Pollack at ZipRecruiter says that's why wages are still going up.
Employers continue to experience acute shortages of qualified candidates.
So many are still offering big salaries and sign-on bonuses to attract and keep workers. And people know it.
The past year and a half of very rapid wage growth has kind of set expectations among job seekers.
And she says she expects that to continue for a while. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down around in the 2 to 4 tenths % range, with the Dow future down 128 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.519%. For those 65 years and older on Medicare, the critical open enrollment season ends this week on December 7th. That's where people can change their coverage plans. And some health insurance companies are trying to persuade Medicare recipients to switch to something called Medicare Advantage and get extra benefits. There are even commercials featuring celebrities trying to convince people to change plans. But Medicare Advantage has proven controversial. For more on this, we're joined by Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so you've got Medicare, that's health insurance for people 65 and older, and then there is something called Medicare Advantage. What is the difference?
Okay, so Medicare Advantage plans, these are private health plans paid by the federal government to provide Medicare-covered benefits. So they're commercially offered managed care plans, and it's an alternative to traditional Medicare, which is fee-for-service and Part D prescription drug plans.
So why might someone opt for the Medicare Advantage versus Medicare?
The plans can offer additional benefits such as dental care and vision services. And another reason is the Advantage plans, they offer a bundle of services, so they're streamlined. And by the way, Advantage plans are sold by for-profit insurance companies, and they have multi-million dollar ad budgets.
If these are privately run, I assume you have to pay extra for them?
It depends how you describe paying extra. So traditional Medicare is more expensive upfront. But with traditional Medicare, you can use any health provider in the country who accepts Medicare. You don't need prior approval, just assuming that a procedure is covered. With Medicare Advantage, you must use the approved providers in the plan's network, or your costs go up when you go out of network. And there's some other cost differences that suggest caution when looking at the Advantage plans.
Why is Medicare Advantage controversial?
These plans have been hit with numerous scandals. There have been federal audits show widespread overcharges and errors in payments, as well as unjustified denial of claims. And companies have been charged with misleading consumers about their benefits. So the bottom line is the insurance companies have figured out how to do well with their Advantage plans. It's unclear with the enrollees and taxpayers.
Well, are there any changes imminent, or do people just have to be really careful when they sign up?
Be really careful, because here's the thing. Congress isn't paying enough attention. You know, for Medicare enrollees, the choice between traditional Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans, or between the various Medicare Advantage plans, it's just too complex and confusing. Simplification would really help. And there is a push to level the playing field between traditional Medicare and Advantage plans, and that would be good. But in essence, Medicare is being privatized without much debate and without strong evidence that enrollees come out ahead from the shift.
All right. Marketplace senior contributor Chris Farrell, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.